Friends, grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So today, as the gathered body of Christ in this place, we celebrate the Festival of All Saints. This is a time where the church honors every saint. You know, those who are like officially canonized by the church, and those saints that are known only to God. Now, I don't know how many of you all know this, but honoring the saints is a really ancient practice in the Christian church. There's a document written in the second century called the Martyrdom of Polycarp. Y'all have read it, right? Of course. Well, it tells the story of Polycarp's death, and he's brought into the arena, and Caesar tells him to renounce his faith in Christ and then threatens him with fire. And this is how he responds to Caesar. "You threaten me with fire which burns for an hour and then extinguished. But you know nothing of the fire of the coming judgment. Why are you waiting? Bring on whatever you want." And so they did. They put him on a stake, lit it on fire. And then the story goes that the fire, it bowed and it arced away from him. And after several minutes, Caesar got so frustrated that he ordered one of his guards, and the guards went up and stabbed him with a dagger. And Caesar, being so angry, they burned his bones. And then the story goes on to say this: "We collected up his bones, more precious than jewels and better purified than gold. And we put them in an appropriate place where, the Lord willing, we shall celebrate the birthday of his martyrdom each year with joy and rejoicing, both to remember those who have run their race and to prepare those yet to walk in their steps." This is the first record of honoring a saint, which is both a celebration and a preparation. We as Lutherans remember not only the saints who have died like Polycarp, but also those saints who live among us. Those saints who are baptized into the body of Christ, and those who continue in Jesus' word. In fact, what we're going to witness here today with Ellie is the making of a saint in baptism. There's a great cloud of witnesses, both dead and living, who have kept company with Jesus, and they lead us with their witness into deeper communion with God and with each other. So the whole, you know, church calendar year, it provides this pathway for us to journey in the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus. And the place of all saints is that we learn that we never journey alone. And so today we're invited to become aware of God's time, when past, present, and future, they all come together as one. And so we name individuals in the body of Christ, living and dead, making the bold claim that the body of Christ is never divided. In fact, nothing can divide it. Not our locations, not our denominations, not our inward fighting, not even death can separate the saints of God from each other. Now, on a controversial side note, this is why I have no problem with Lutherans asking the saints to pray for them. Have you ever asked your neighbor in the pew to pray for you? then why not those who have gone before you? Unless you think I'm alone in this, or this is somehow my Catholic upbringing, Martin Luther says this in a sermon, March 11th, 1523, and he's talking about the Hail Mary, which is ultimately asking Mary to pray for us. He says this, "Whoever possesses a firm faith says the Hail Mary without danger. Whoever is weak in faith can utter no Hail Mary without danger to his salvation." That's Luther. But I get why most of us, we don't have much interaction with the saints. Sometimes the saints, especially those officially canonized, they can seem obscure or hard to identify with, you know, real off from our modern experience. But when you get to know them and their stories, you learn about their real lives, your vision changes. The saints and their lives call us to deeper faithfulness, to continued connection, and to trust in the Holy Spirit that led them. Learning about their lives prepares us for our own. I once heard this. A pastor once told me, a saint is someone the light shines through. A saint is someone that the light shines through. And that's why stained glass is an excellent metaphor for the saints. So it's right that on All Saints we read the Beatitudes. Today we read Luke's version of the Beatitudes. Because the saints themselves, they led blessed lives. And we should take notice that in our gospel reading, Jesus is talking to the disciples here. All of his words are to his followers, to the saints. Jesus looked up at his disciples and he said, "Blessed are the poor, the hungry, those who weep, and you when people hate you on his account." Jesus obviously means blessed in a different way than the way that we hashtag it on Instagram today. See, the world says, blessed are the rich. But Jesus says, blessed are the poor. The world says, blessed are those who can eat whatever and whenever they want. But Jesus says, blessed are the hungry. The world says, blessed are those who are happy. But Jesus says, blessed are those who weep. The world says, blessed are those who, when everybody likes them. And Jesus says, blessed are you when people hate you and when they exclude you and revile you, and defame you on the account of the Son of Man. Blessed is something different than living your best life according to the world. For Jesus, blessed is knowing to whom you belong. It's having a firm grasp on the light that shines on you and through you. I like the way Richard Rohr, he talks about the Beatitudes. He calls them the happy attitudes. Happy is just another way to translate that Greek word for blessed. And I appreciate the way that Matthew Skinner, he's a professor at Luther, he rounds out this idea, and he says that blessed is more like unburdened. Blessed is more like satisfied. See, the saints encourage us and lead us to live unburdened, to live a life that is truly satisfied, not in the ways of wealth and gluttony and Pollyanna happiness and being liked by everyone, but in continuing in the word of Jesus. Blessed is the freedom given to us in our baptism when the shackles of sin fall to the bottom of the font and we are raised in Christ to new life. Blessed is a gift. But we're wise to hear the words of Jesus, the other words of Jesus in our gospel reading too, because we are really good at diving down into the font again and picking up the shackles that have sunk to the bottom. So to the disciples, to the saints, Jesus says, "Woe to you who are rich. Woe to you who are full now. Woe to you who are laughing now. Woe to you who, when people speak well of you." And I know, because I do this too, my first reaction to this reading is to immediately think that woe means like unhappy to them or cursed or even damned, right? But Jesus is talking to the saints. Woe here is like this exclamation. Professor Skinner out of Luther, he says that woe is like the English word yikes. For all the Californians in here, it's dude. It's an intention getter. It's an emotion setter. It's not, rather than a clear characterization or a pronouncement. See, in this passage, Jesus is calling the disciples to examine their lives in the light of God's coming kingdom. Jesus' woe statements here are showing that the things we often believe are advantages are not. When we have riches and food and self-won security and respectability, we constantly need to be assessing ourselves and examining whether we're putting our trust in those things or God. We constantly need to be evaluating whether or not they've become a burden to our souls or whether they have their proper place too and are servants of God's reign in your life. See, the saints are examples of those who understood what true blessing is. They examined the woes in their life. And so we honor them today, living and dead. And we remember those who fought the good fight, who finished the race, who continue to keep the faith. Friends, we need the unbroken body of Christ to lead us into the future kingdom. The lives of the saints, they help us prepare our own. They show us what a blessed life is looked like, a life that is satisfied in Christ Jesus, a life that's secure in God, a life that is dependent on God's grace and love and mercy. Friends, may you remember and give thanks for those whom the light shines through, and may you know too that you are a part of that great cloud of witnesses. Amen.